is sure.
She is sure.
She is strong.
She is strong.
She is true.
She is true.
She is brave.
She is brave.
She is bold.
She is bold.
She is you.
She is you.
She is you.
She is sure.
She is sure. She is strong.
She is strong.
She is true.
She is true.
She is brave.
She is brave.
She is bold.
She is bold.
She is you.
Welcome to the Word of Mom Media Network and Word of Mom Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to today's Word of Mom Radio. I'm your host, Dori DiCarlo, and you know we are here week after week with shows that are just breaking the myths that mompreneurs and women who work from home are just dabbling in business, you know, in between bake sales and getting our nails done. We're smart, we're savvy, and we are out there making a difference. And I love when the journey enables me to share someone that has been on the journey with me for a while as an actual friend, you know, not that the people that we meet online and stuff like that, because believe me, I have some social media friends I've never met, but if I'm on the ledge, they're who I'll call. But every once in a while, you get to meet somebody in real life. And from the minute we met, how many years ago at the ETT Women's Conference that you were speaking at, that we just met and just became friends, and I'm so excited to be sharing Carol Moriarty Mason. And I just messed up her name. I can't believe it. This is so funny. All right, but Moriarty Mason.
Moriarty.
And she's a Moriarty. See, I knew it. Can't believe it. We were saying it perfect before the show. You guys know me. I can butcher a last name. All right. So Carol is a life coach and a grief recovery expert. She's a former professional tennis player, and she went from having it all to losing it all after experiencing a devastating loss, her ex-husband's suicide in 2011. But as a single mother, she never let herself give up. She persevered through her hardships to win it all back. Well, combining her signature healing process with the power of forgiveness, Carol guides women who have lost their way in both their live workshops and customized coaching programs. She educates her clients on various methods of releasing pain and eliminating blockages, with the end goal always being for them to return to a place of light, love, and empowerment. And I'm so excited to be sharing her today with all of you here on Word of Mom Radio. So, Carol, welcome to the show.
Oh, Dori, I'm so excited to be here with you. I always love any time that we get to have a conversation that will help your listeners.
You know, it's amazing. I love watching your evolution, and I want you to share a little about your background with our listeners so they can understand the whole evolution.
Well, I was very fortunate. A lot of people complain about their parents or, you know, how their parents always weren't supportive of their dreams, but I had the opposite. I had really loving and supporting parents, and I grew up in a very affluent town, Chappaqua, that the Clintons have made famous. And if you asked anybody in Chappaqua who I was, they would say, you mean the one that walks around with a tennis racket? Because I just ate, slept, and lived for tennis. So tennis is a really big part of my life. I started playing pretty late in life when I was 11. My father taught all of us, and then I just took to it, loved it, and went to college for a few years, and then I got a sponsor, and I played on the professional tour. And I just, you know, when I was little, that was always my dream. I had two dreams. I wanted to play tennis professionally and work on Wall Street. So I was very fortunate again that after I stopped playing tennis, I went and started interviewing on Wall Street. And they really liked athletes because of our competitiveness. It just really helps on a trading floor. So then I went to work on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange as one of the maybe 20 women out of 3,500 men. And that was, again, just an incredible experience that I'm just so thankful for both of them.
And wow.
Up until that point, I know, I was like, I had a life that most people were envious of up until 2011. It was, I was really doing everything I had dreamed of, and I just set my goals and I went after them. I didn't care what anybody said. I didn't let anything stop me.
As well, you shouldn't. You know, somebody once told me that if people don't laugh at your dreams, you're not dreaming big enough.
So, so true.
Yeah.
That's very true.
So going from pro tennis to the stock exchange and then 2011.
Yeah.
How did it all shift?
Well, I was very close to my ex-husband. You know, we had a son together, and he lost a lot of friends on September 11th. I mean, numerous. He had just gone to a wedding of one of his good friends that worked for Cantor Fitzgerald, and they had
oh, wow.
the entire floor. Yeah, he was really devastated, and it affected him. And, you know, he started drinking on and off, and with drinking, you know, depression goes hand in hand. But, we talked all the time, and we're very close. And then I got a phone call on September 15th, 2011, that forever changed, you know, my life. I'll never forget it. And you can't prepare for when you get a phone call that someone has died by suicide. There's
right.
If you know, you just can't prepare for how it just changes your life within, you know, a second, just with one mm-hmm. phone call. It's really devastating, you know, to say the least. And you don't know what to do, because there's, in our society, we don't really talk about grief. You know, it's not like you've had conversations, at least in my family. Everybody lived to be almost 100. So it was, you know, we were very
wow.
fortunate. So we didn't have conversations about it. I didn't really lose many friends until September 11th. But so I was fortunate, and there's no a handbook on it. So you're really left alone to figure out what the heck you're going to do to survive. And, you know, it's just, it's frightening. You feel hopeless. And it's very lonely, because one of the consistent complaints I get from the women that, you know, the people that I coach, is that because people don't know what to say, they don't say anything and they don't do anything. So that leaves you even more lonely, and it delays the process of your healing even more so, you know. So it's like you really feel very unsupported from your family and friends, and it's not their fault. It's just they don't know what to do, so
right.
They don't do anything, and it's a really difficult time for anyone who's gone through a significant loss.
What did you do? What kind of steps did you take for yourself to overcome this?
Well, the first, you know, the other thing too is that people don't talk about secondary losses, and it's like a ripple effect. You know, the first loss was the loss of my ex-husband, but then the second losses just keep coming like dominoes. You know, I had the loss of support, the financial loss of all the hopes and dreams. I mean, it just keeps hitting you. It's like you're in a fight, you know, and just keep getting knocked down. It's just the first year was pretty difficult. I really felt like I was in a fog. And then, you know, you go through all the firsts, which are very, very difficult. And then I really felt like I was in a coma. And all of a sudden, I just woke up and I was able to breathe again. It was so bizarre. Somebody told me that was going to happen. And I'm like, yeah, I feel like I'm going to be stuck in this zombie land forever. But one day, all of a sudden, it was just like I could breathe again. And I'm not saying I was better at that point, but I felt like, okay, now I can start figuring out what to do to get better. First thing, I did a lot of research, but I was fortunate enough to connect with a life coach who really helped people that were grieving to you know, heal and then go on and get their life back. So you asked me what are the few things I did. Believe it or not, one of the first ones was I practiced gratitude. And a lot of people have a problem with this, because they're like, I have nothing to be grateful for. I just lost somebody, or I lost my job, or I'm going through the divorce. But it's really important to practice gratitude, because it'll shift the energy, and the universe will give you more things to be grateful for. So every morning I would wake up and I would it takes 30 seconds, I would say three things that I was grateful for, and they could be really simple, like grateful that I'm alive, I'm grateful that it's sunny out. And I just consistently did this, and then throughout the day I would look for other things that would be I could be grateful for. And when you start taking on this energy, it's amazing how people start holding the door open for you, or you go to get a coffee and they're like, oh, you know, I gave you a large instead of a medium, it's on us. I mean, little things start happening that really, you know, you start recognizing to be grateful for.
Right.
It's like your whole energy around you shifts, and people can get that. They get your vibe, and it's just like a magnet. You just start attracting all these things that to be grateful for.
I'm nodding my head as you're saying this. It's interesting to me that, you know, going from what you dealt with in your grief, how did this morph into you becoming certified as a life and grief coach?
Well,
I think that's an amazing transformation. I really do.
I never, ever, ever thought I was going to be a grief recovery coach, ever. I mean, you know, I was skipping along through life. So, I mean, I would have never dreamed that this is what I would be doing. But along my healing journey, I took so many courses, and I worked with a grief coach, and then I decided to get my certification because I thought, you know what, now that I've figured this out, there are so many other people out there that need to be healed, because otherwise they're going to live their entire life in pain, and I didn't want that for them. So that's when I made the decision to get certified, and I got certified just in case anybody asked, but I'll be honest with you, nobody really ever asked. They want to know if you can get them results, and that's it. But that took about a year to get my certification, and I achieved that a few years ago, and I'm just so thankful to be blessed with helping others heal.
What do you find as you are now working with people? What are the biggest challenges that you're finding? Are there similarities, and you know, does it go back to a relatable place for you?
Yeah, I mean, I can relate to when I first decided, all right, enough is enough. Like, I don't want to live my life like this anymore. And, you know, my ex-husband wouldn't want this either. In fact, he'd be pissed if when we went up to heaven, he'd be like, what the heck? You wasted your whole life being sad and depressed. You know, it's like, you're not meant to live a life of sadness. You're meant to live your most amazing life. So that was, I just made the decision. I'm like, it's time. I can't continue my life like this anymore. And I would say the biggest challenge for people are that, and it doesn't matter if it's loss of a loved one or a divorce or a career, it's that they don't really know what the next steps are. They don't know what to do. You know, they don't have like a plan, to follow in order to get the outcome that they want. They also feel very unsupported, that others don't get how they're feeling, so they feel very isolated. And lastly, they get so caught up in their story. You know, stories are really interesting because we often twist the story, so it kind of favors our version of our story, right? You know, it's something happens, but you're like, start embellishing it. So when you tell people, maybe it's not 100% true, you've added a few things on, and then you start telling that story so many times, you believe it, that's what keeps you stuck. Does that make sense?
Interesting. Yes, it does.
Yeah, it's really interesting. You know, there are a few versions of your story, right? There's your version, and then there's the truth. And sometimes they don't match up exactly.
Perspective is everything, isn't it?
Yeah, and I got so wrapped up in my story. You know, I was like, how could he do this? If he loved his son so much, he would never do this. And how could he not have his will done correctly? And, you know, I was just going on. I just was so angry and blamed him for so many things. I was really proud of my story. You know, I walked around like it was a coat of armor. And then when I went to the Landmark Forum, it saved my life because it really helped me see that that none of that is true. He wasn't well. He was in a really bad state. He loved us dearly, but he just couldn't find a way out of the pain he was in, and that's what happened. It's very simple. You know, it's really pretty black and white, and all the other things that I embellished around my story weren't really his story.
Wow. And on that note, I want to take a break and say thank you to our fabulous sponsors, and we'll be back here in a little bit and continue this conversation with Carol here on Word of Mom Radio.
Hey, sports fans. Take the hassle out of going to the game with the clear bags from StadiumBags.com. Our crossbody mini messenger bag, stadium size backpack, tote bag with different color straps, and ready-to-go travel bag meet the size requirements for pro and college sports. You can find us at StadiumBags.com and get yourself the bags guaranteed to last season after season, because safety, it's in the bag.
And we are back here on Word of Mom Radio with Cal Mortarotti. Mason, and we're talking about the journey back from grief and her work as a grief recovery counselor and coach. And, you know, what happens when you don't find a way to heal? What areas of your life get affected by your staying cloaked in that story and not moving beyond?
It's interesting. It's really, if you analyze it, it's really all of the aspects of your life, because if you have a business, for example, and you're holding on to anger, or you have a family relationship that's, you know, you feel like you've been wronged, all of those beliefs in your story carry over into your business. So maybe, you know, you don't think you're worthy of charging the prices that you should, you're worthy of success. So that really ties, it really affects a lot of areas of your life that you might not even be aware of, but your relationships suffer, and that's with your spouse if you have one, or your family and your friends, your career, like I said, your business, and your finances can suffer. It really affects everything when you're just out of alignment.
What are some things, like, how do you start getting a handle on all of that? How does the overwhelm not just get you to that place where you just feel like you'll never get out of this vortex?
Well, I really suggest, what were you going to say? Sorry.
Nothing. I was going to say, or does the vortex become the normal?
Well, you really have two choices. You know, it's like the Matrix, right? You can take the red pill or the blue pill. You can either decide to remain living your life as a victim and go down a really dark rabbit hole, or you can decide that you're going to make yourself a priority and do the work that's necessary to heal. And it's really doing the work. And if you don't know what to do, I highly suggest getting the right support. There's so much support out there. If you don't want to hire a coach, then you can go to, there are Facebook groups out there. There are a lot of community groups that, you know, for grief. There's so much out there that today's world, it really makes it so much easier. But you have to really do the work. It's like if you're going to run a marathon, you know, you have to actually train for the marathon, and the end result is that you finish. So it's the same thing. It's like if your end goal is to take your power back and get your life back and then some and live an even better life, you really have to do all of the steps that are required to you know, get that outcome.
When you say step, I've heard the steps of the grief process, you know, and the anger and the denial and all of the different things that go through, you know, do you find that people really do have to go through all of those phases? And that if they just, oh yeah, they just move on as if it was nothing, that it's going to hit them later on?
Well, those are the initial steps. Like that's the first year, I think, you go through all of, like, you know, some people say there are five, some people say there are seven steps of grief. I'm talking about, like, once you go through those stages, then the steps that I suggest are practicing gratitude, writing forgiveness letters to anyone that you think needs to be forgiven, and also include yourself. And just there's a burning therapy where you write a letter, you write out, pour out all of your emotions, and then it's very important that you don't keep rereading it or shred it up. You have to burn it, because the burning is the healing process. All of those trapped emotions that you've poured out onto your letter get released to the universe, and that's very healing. It's practicing self-care. Yeah.
It's so funny. I have a God box. And whenever something got so overwhelming for me, I would write it down. I would put it in the God box. And every time I'd light a fire, I would just, I would never look again, because I'd put it in the God box. Even if I put it in 50 different times, because it was still bothering me. And I'd still put it in there, put it in there, put it in there, and then burn it. You know?
Oh,
whenever there was a fire, I would just burn it. Yes, it's awesome. It's an
awesome
thing to just, you know, because here's the thing, you know, It is what it is, and you to me, life has always been choice. I have always chosen joy. It's just who I am, and no matter how hard things have been, and believe me, I mean, I've lived through a lot of stuff. We all do. I just am so thankful. Every morning, my first thought is just being thankful for my blessings. The last thought before I go to bed is being thankful for my blessings, whether I was sleeping in a house or I was sleeping in a tent, because I was camping out because I didn't know where I was going to be living at that time, you know, was just kind of traveling, and you know, because I can, and you know, because I was never, you know, once my children were grown and gone, my life became my own again, you know, but through it all, I so agree with you. Gratitude, practicing gratitude, I think is one of the most wonderful things that you can do for yourself, because you become so grateful for the smallest of things that you forget to be grateful
Absolutely.
For. You know, the sound of a bird singing in the window, you know, such this beautiful melody that'll never happen again. You know, kind of, it's as simple as that. It can be grateful for the fact that you're sitting on the top of the Taj Mahal. There's so many things to be grateful for.
But what's really important, the key word that you said is choice. And people have to, nobody can make that choice for you.
Mm.
The person has to make the choice for themselves, and they have to do the work too. You know, it's not something that you can do for someone else that you love, that you
right.
want, you know, to heal. And it's their choice. They have to make it, and everything, you know, sometimes people have said to me, oh, you're so lucky, all these things, you've done all these things. And I'm like, oh, no, 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 that's not luck. I chose to go after my dreams, and I put in a lot of hard work, and I've had a lot of hiccups mm-hmm. along the way, but I keep choosing to wake up every day and practice. And just because the other thing too is that people think, okay, so I've practiced gratitude for a week. Well, I don't have anything that I feel like I'm attracting to be grateful for. It's like, no, this is something that you have to do every day of your life. You know, mm-hmm. you have to practice gratitude, you have to practice forgiveness, practice self-care, right? I mean, it's not just like you do it once and then that's it.
Oh, my gosh. Have you seen The Good Place? There's this show, The Good Place, and it's the funniest thing because there's a the characters, they're in the good place. They've died, and they're in the good place. And one of the characters is a Buddhist monk who doesn't speak. And you meet your soulmate. His soulmate is just the chattiest Kathy you've ever met in your entire life. And at one point, she's like, I need to see because you're so peaceful. I have to try it. Let's see what it's like for me just not to talk at all. And she goes like this. She's like, oh, that was so cleansing. I totally understand that. And it was so funny because she literally paused for like 12 seconds.
Like,
and, oh, that's it. And she's so refreshed. Sorry, I mean, you know, you have to inject some levity. But it's true. It isn't just that. It is a practice. It is an everyday decision. Sometimes it's in every moment, the moment-by-moment decision, and especially when you're grieving. Because let's face it, there's no time. Time doesn't heal all wounds. It gives you the coping mechanisms because the wound is always mm-hmm. there. You know, I lost my mom January 9th. It'll be 26 years. It's the sore tooth. That
oh, yeah.
doesn't bother me at all until my tongue hits the tooth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then I have to miss my mom and you know, feel that grief all over again, and I honor it, and I move on because my mother would never want me to wallow in it, you know?
Right, and every
but I know she's happy.
Be perfect.
Exactly, you know, at all. And you know, what are the possibilities of people when they start to heal? What starts to happen for them?
Well, really, the possibilities are endless. First, they can take back their power. They start feeling freer. They start judging less. You know, judgment is a big thing, too. You know, it's really important not to judge others and don't compare yourself to others. You know, wherever you're at right now is perfect. But the possibilities are endless. Your relationships can improve, your career, your business. I mean, once you really fully heal and you know, you return everything back to inner peace and love. I mean, it sounds corny, but miracles can happen.
What's one thing, just one thing someone could do today to start that healing process?
Well, I'll say three things out loud that they're grateful for. And if they want to do a second thing, to write a forgiveness letter. And it could even be to themselves, forgiving themselves for something. Those are two easy things to do, and they'll get instant, you know, release. So that's what those are the things that I would suggest they can do right now today.
What would you like to say as we end this conversation? And I really thank you so much for being here and sharing with us. What do you want to leave our listeners with today, Carol?
That they don't have to continue living their lives in pain. You know, it's inevitable. Everybody experiences loss, but it's the choice you make and how you recover after the loss that can really make a difference how the end of your story ends. So I really encourage everyone to get the support they need to do the work so they can live the amazing lives that are waiting for them literally on the other side of the door of grief.
Let everyone know how they can reach you, please.
They can go to my website, forgivingconquer.com. I have a Facebook page, forgivingconquer.com. So those would be the two best ways to reach out. And when they go to my website, they can opt in to get a free healing guide that gives them 12 different ways. A few of them are what we discussed today to start their healing journey.
Wow, that's awesome. Carol, I'm so glad that you came here today to share. I'm excited that you will be back and, you know, sharing more, because so many people are out there and need that guide, need that help, need that person that isn't there to judge, that's just there to be part of the journey as they're coming back to their inner peace and their inner self, and realizing that you're honoring the people that you've lost in your life when you live your best life, you know, because they don't, as you said, they don't want you to be in pain. They don't want you to not live your life and go out and do all of the amazing things that you were here to do, you know. So I'm so happy to call you my friend. And so love watching your journey and everything that you are doing to make a difference. So thank you again
for being here. It's been my pleasure. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And, you know, thank you all for tuning in here to Word of Mom Radio and the Word of Mom Media Network. And we are going to close out with our fabulous theme song from Smith Sisters, Bluegrass, She Is You. So until next time, this is Dori DiCarlo saying, go out and create a marvelous you. Bye for now.
She is sure.
She is sure.
She is strong.
She is strong.
She is true.
She is true.
She is brave.
She is brave.
She is bold.
She is bold.
She is you.
She is you. She is you. She is you.
She is sure.
She is sure.
She is strong.
She is strong.
She is true.
She is true.
She is brave.
She is brave.
She is bold.
She is bold.
She is you.
She is you. She is you. She is you.
Sure of herself. Yeah, she takes care of biz. Powerful and strong. Yeah, she knows who she is. Has integrity. Woman strong and true. You know her by name. See, this woman is you. She is sure.
She is sure.
She is strong.
She is strong.
She is true.
She is true.
She is brave.
She is brave.
She is bold.
She is bold.
She is you.
She is you.
She is you.
She is you.
She is sure.
She is sure.
She is strong.
She is strong.
She is true.
She is true.
She is brave.
She is brave.
She is bold.
She is bold.
She is you.
She is you.
She is you.
She is you.
Adds value and hope. Has proved to be brave. See, it's never too late. Never time to behave. Reaching for dreams. Doesn't matter the age. Believes in herself, unleashed from her cage. She is sure.
She is sure.
She is strong.
She is strong.
She is true.
She is true.
She is brave.
She is brave.
She is bold.
She is bold.
She is you.
She is you.
She is you.
She is you.
She is sure.
She is sure.
She is strong.
She is strong.
She is true.
She is true.
choose you.